We'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We are Haley from Taking a Kinder Path, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Erin, from Everlearning. We're gathering to have conversations about family life and home education, most specifically unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed education, or as I often refer to it, whole life learning. We'll be sharing experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us. Hello, welcome back to the virtual kitchen table. I'm Erin, and I'm here today with Ashley. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Erin.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, always.
Mm-hmm. And we also have Teresa Weidrich here today. You might know Teresa from a variety of her work, actually. She has a website, Capturing the Charmed Life, and a podcast, Homeschool Mama Self-Care. And she's also on social media and has a variety of offerings with coaching and different programs. So we'll make sure to put a link at the bottom so that you can find out a little bit more about what Teresa does. So pretty excited to have Teresa here today. What kind of, boosted my thinking about having an opportunity for Teresa to come and chat with us is that I had an opportunity to speak with her on her podcast. And after the recording, I guess we'll call it the after party, Teresa, after party for two, we were just chatting a little bit, as moms do. And I was just asking her a little bit about the work that she does with homeschool moms. And one of the statements that she had made was talking about how much she enjoys supporting women. And I think she made the comment, like, helping women get out of their own way. And that just really stuck in my mind, because I think that's very common to probably all women, maybe all people. But I think it's probably also a really interesting conversation in the homeschool world. So, you know, when you said that, Teresa, I thought, that's kind of interesting, because I think that in starting this podcast, you know, Ashley and Haley, who's unfortunately not able to be with us here today, but we'll catch up with her thoughts maybe on it another time. You know, I think we all kind of had to get out of our own way, as probably most people do, when you're thinking about doing something like starting a podcast and putting your thoughts out there and your ideas out there and wondering if anybody is really interested, or if you're going to be able to really, you know, kind of speak in the way you'd like to. And I guess we've done other, you know, Haley and I both have blogs, and Ashley, you've done quite a bit of co-working with on Clubhouse with Honey on Homeschooling the Kids and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking that was some of our initial conversation, is kind of just putting ourselves out there and kind of seeing what happened and not being too afraid of the outcome, I guess, right? Putting ourselves out there and not being too afraid of kind of what came from that. And I'll just say, in an interesting twist, I'm feeling pretty good about this kind of stuff now. And I think the other piece for me, as far as getting out of my own way, is almost the opposite. Work outside of the home too, and I do some volunteer stuff, and that for me sometimes feels like it has taken on a life of its own. So now it's kind of also getting out of my own way to prioritize myself and prioritize other interests and rest and quieter times. So I guess I just wanted to say that I think this means, I mean, Teresa, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts about this, but what's coming up for me is I think it means different things to different people, and maybe even, you know, during different life stages and mm-hmm. situations. So I feel like my perspective is this idea of kind of women really showing up for ourselves. You had made a comment, Teresa, about helping women show up. I think it was authentically, confidently, and intentionally. And I feel like that can mean a lot of different things, but I think it's really important to talk about and what important work it is for you to be supporting women mm-hmm. in doing. So I would love, I guess, to hear a little bit more about what you do and some of your thoughts about that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me here. And hi, everybody that's listening over the airwaves. I'm Teresa. If we haven't met, I'm a certified life coach. I'm a homeschool mentor, and I'm a graduated homeschool mom of four kids now. And I absolutely love what I do, just like I love my homeschool life most days. And it has even just been clarifying for me to learn and understand my journey over the last couple decades as I am supporting other homeschool moms now. But just as you shared, the seasons, there we are all as humans getting in our own way. Mindset shifts that are required for us to really show up intentionally and confidently and authentically. And I chose those words on purpose because that has been my experience. And it seems to be the common denominator for the women that I'm working with. There is always an element of those things. And it also means different things at different stages. But it's not a guarantee. I can think of the homeschool mom that's not yet homeschooling and she's looking for confidence. And then I'm thinking of the homeschool mom that's in the high school level years and she's not looking for confidence. She wants to know, how do you even do this thing? So we're not all guaranteed to be locked into a specific stage and a specific challenge at any given time. But this calling to be authentic and confident and purposeful, I think we all have that within us for varying reasons.
Mm. Yeah, and I like the timing of this conversation, Teresa, because a couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation about, it was emotional labor, I think, mm-hmm. Ashley. And then I feel like there's some overlap with some of these things for sure. Oh. So we talked about emotional labor. And then last week we spoke with Brittany Acciavati about our identity as homeschool moms. And so it wasn't planned this way, but I feel like those have been really good precursors to this conversation.
Beautiful.
As well. Yeah, absolutely. And so Teresa, it sounds like you find, I mean, of course women have different stories, but what I'm getting is there's a lot of commonality when oh, yeah. Probably there are those threads that come through that are, yeah.
Yeah, there are. I mean, it's not just I don't think it's just a female thing. I definitely see that it's a broad spectrum thing. You know, last week I'm having a conversation in some in my coaching world, some in my real world, but with someone that is just graduated high school trying to figure out, is this the program she wants to be? That's a classic discussion in the first year, because typically people don't stay in their majors. Maybe 70 or 80% don't stay in their majors in their first year. And then I had, and this was all in the same day, I had a conversation with a friend who's trying to think, and she's my age, 50. She's trying to think, is this what she wants to do for the rest of her life? Coincidentally, the activity or the job she's doing right now. And then I had a conversation with another person who was like, I like what I do, but there's elements of it that don't feel purposeful, or somehow it's not aligning with my true sense of purpose. And then there was someone that's in the, you know, mid-20s that has the established, profession, I guess you could say, but doesn't know that that's where she wants to stay either. And so when I'm looking at all of those moments that where people are looking for purpose or meaning, it doesn't come at the age of 18 where you have to ask the graduated homeschool, high school kiddo, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? It's an experience right across the spectrum.
Mm, okay. How valuable too, just so I'm listening to this. So it's moms, but it's also, you're talking about younger mm-hmm. people, you know, like, yeah. Like these are kind of like maybe existential questions.
I know. Meta stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Meta stuff. Mom
do meta. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. I've pulled up an email here. So, because I wanted to actually look at the sentence that you had given to me, Teresa. You talked about helping moms show up in their lives authentically, confidently, and intentionally. And so I just, was kind of breaking that down a little bit for myself. And I just wondered if maybe we could talk a little bit about those three things as kind of a way for things a little bit. So for me, talking about the authenticity piece. So I'm actually just going to read a little bit of what I wrote, and then maybe we can get that a little bit. So I said, oh, this one is interesting. So I said, having grown up as a people pleaser, it's difficult to actually know how I feel or who I am at times. Like many people, I can be a bit of a chameleon and find a way to make the person I'm around comfortable. Then I said, this reminds me of parts of our last podcast episode about emotional labor and how often we as women tend to do that. I think we worry about what people would do if we were our full selves. Would we be too much? And so we keep people comfortable. So for me, I sometimes need periods alone to draw back and sit with myself for a while without too many voices, because otherwise I can end up taking on other people's way of being. Now, Teresa, I'm guessing maybe that's not rare for you to hear.
No,
maybe
not. It's my experience as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can identify with it. Mm-hmm. And so I got thinking about the authenticity piece, because that can show up. So if we're thinking about it in a homeschool lens, I think about much more so, I guess, in my earlier days of homeschooling, but I would say even preschool, like even those early days of parenting, probably, where I'm like, some of us, probably all three of us, have made some decisions that are outside the box, clearly, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be having this conversation. And so, you know, that is one really concrete example where I can think that I, you know, it was hard to show up authentically in all spaces, because you don't always want to have the conversation. You don't always feel comfortable, you know, answering questions about why you're choosing to do things differently. And so I think that if I think about it from like a parenting perspective, that's something that really stands out for me, is this. And I think it's probably why, as homeschool people, we do kind of want to find some people that we can identify with, because we all need that safe space where we can just really kind of talk what's going on. But typically we don't leave the rest of our life behind either. So we still have neighbors and family and friends and, you know, people that we know in various ways. And so that's something that comes to mind for me, is kind of like that struggle for me to, because as much as I'm saying I sometimes struggle with authenticity, it's never my intention to be inauthentic with, right? Like I really, that's never my intention. But it's a challenge when you step outside the box. It's a challenge to kind of show up as your full self.
Well, it feels safe. It feels safe to play the chameleon, because in some ways it's true. Like, we all want people to mirror a sense of, we like you. And if we get the sense that, what if they don't agree or like or whatever with us, then we go, oh, maybe I should just chameleon this one. And I get that, but I bet you know that experience when you first wrote something and put it out publicly. I remember doing that. It was in the first few months for me of homeschooling. And I'm so glad I started blogging then, because I have all these amazing stories. Like, I've got 900 posts there, most of them built before the last few years. And it's great fodder for discussion now. But at the time, I was terrified that people were hearing what I was thinking, and then I was declaring what I was thinking outside the box. And I can remember the first number of times I'd posted something, and every time I was in contact with someone that I knew, I assumed that they read what I wrote, and what are they going to think about what I wrote? And then it took about 6 months for me to realize, no one knows I'm writing and no one cares. That was my primary experience. But fast forward 20 years or so, two decades, and now I realize that as I'm being authentic, I am inviting you to be authentic. So the more authentic I am, the more likely I'm to resonate with other people. And that has been a blow my mind experience, because I was just like you, Erin, where I instinctively wanted to follow what, or just be quiet and let the loudest other person in the room speak so that I didn't get criticized.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, you don't have to jump in, but I just wanted to give you a chance.
Yeah, thanks. I've been jotting down my notes as usual, because I just have so many things. It's like, what to pick, where to start. But as you guys are sharing, I'm just like, yes, 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 nodding along. And I'm making so many connections here just between how we feel and how, you know, I'm really glad that we're home educating and unschooling, because I hope my children can avoid feeling this way as they're adults. So that's coming up for me a lot too. Like, I'm hoping they can show up as themselves more, because I'm reflecting on my own childhood, of course, and thinking about, well, why? Because Erin, when you were saying people pleasing and, you know, taking other people's comfort, you know, really considering that a lot, I'm just like, yes, 100%. And I think about that sometimes, because I see that in my youngest, especially. And I mean, it's convenient as the parent when you have a kiddo like that, but it worries me, it concerns me, because I know that that comes at a cost. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, growing up the way a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us grew up, where we, especially if we were in the school system, we had to do what we had to do to feel safe in those spaces. And that was different for everyone, because we're also different. And I was the rule follower. Like, I figured out how to play the game of school early on and how to not get attention. And that wasn't by showing up as my authentic self. That was me showing up as the good girl, as the good student. And I was proud of that. I thought that, you know, I got the gold star all the time for that behavior. And that's years and years. And I was always, and then after school, even like taking the right, and always being praised for, oh, you're off to university. Oh, you got another degree. So you just go along and you think, I'm getting it right. I'm doing it right. But I think it comes at a huge cost.
Yeah.
So yeah, then to get to, I'm actually about to turn 40.
Ooh,
and that just comes with a lot of reflection, I guess, right? When you hit one of those milestone birthdays. And I hear so many people around my age say a similar thing, like, oh, I'm finally just kind of figuring out who I am. Or like going back to what you were saying, Tracy, like what I want to do. So yeah, lots of reflection around who am I? so that I can show up. Because like you said, Erin, like I want to show up as my authentic self. I don't intentionally show up in a space, and like I want to, but there's that piece of safety that isn't often felt. And I think, like you were saying, when you were doing something so different, it's hard to just accept what people say when they tell you, like, well, not everyone's going to agree with you, or not everyone's going to love what you do. And you're like, right, like I understand that and I agree with that, but I've gone decades of, you know, doing this a certain way. It's hard to just, I don't know, I guess it's another way of de-schooling, like, or another area that you have to de-school a bit. So I'll stop there. But yeah, it's really fascinating to think about all the connections.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm thinking, Ashley, like as you're talking, it's authentic to even be having this conversation, because I think it was when we were talking about de-schooling a few episodes back, and Haley made the point that you know, we really have to have grace with ourselves, because to your point about coming through the school system and potentially just society, we very young have these gold star ideas of what we have to do to please people and what's the kind of the game to play. And that's very integrated into who we are. And so, yeah, I think it would be very, I think there are people who maybe don't struggle with this at all, but I sure hear a lot from people.
Not many. At least I'm not meeting them.
You're not meeting them. I think it's pretty typical. So it's nice to, just to be able to have these conversations, because it does seem to be such like a common experience. Yeah. If nobody, I'll just jump in with one other thing about this authenticity piece, which is that I think there's also something around being your authentic self. So I was talking about kind of like authentic as a home educator, mm-hmm. in the wider world, But I also think that it's can be challenging even within the world of home education, because
Absolutely.
Again, we're all human. And I think when you're in a population that is already feeling a bit vulnerable because it's smaller and it's being watched and it's, you know, there can be a tendency to really kind of want to cling to a certain way of doing things. And really choosing a label and wanting to become that philosophy or that label, or whether it's, I'm just trying to think of another example, even, you know, even how much of ourselves or our children we feel comfortable showing or not. It's hard. I think it's even hard in kind of within this realm. I don't know, Teresa, does that resonate?
The discussion on being dogmatic about different homeschool methods, we do it in various worldviews or religions. We know that people are choosing that in those realms, but we're doing it sometimes in homeschooling too. And even though I think I love all of the methods because they all can contribute something toward the way we're approaching our kids. And sometimes they resonate with some of the kids. And sometimes, like, you're unschooling because, like, for my oldest, I unschooled because of my oldest. And then I realized that's not going to work with my second. But I'm not actually dogmatically aligned with any method. And I'm the kind of person that's going to declare it from the mountaintop, where I live in the mountains, that you don't want to dogmatically align with any of these things because you're not raising a homeschool method. You're raising a child. So the child right in front of you, is that one that is going to be raised? Are you choosing to raise that child? Are you choosing to learn who that child is and know and notice what their next step needs to be? Or are you trying to create community in the unschool community or in the Charlotte Mason community or the Montessori or whatever? And I'm not saying it's bad to want community. In fact, I don't think there's a right and wrong. I would actually strike that word from my sentence if I could right now. But I don't think there's a right and wrong in it. I just think that we have to consider, is the goal about community and aligning with people and feeling right? Or is it more about the child in front of us?
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder too, if it's the difference between, because for some people, they are really eclectic. And for others, it's really helpful to find sort of a philosophy and really work toward that. And I think that's great and even helpful, as long as you're feeling good about it, as long as you feel like you can, as you're saying, Teresa, show up as yourself, right?
Yeah.
As long
as and allow your children to do that as well.
That's right. And allow your children to do that as well. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very tricky. No, scratch that. It's impossible if you're not doing it yourself. And you won't even know that until years later, because this has been my experience. I am not embodying the same experience right now as I was when I was a new mom, or in many stages along the way. And so to the extent that you can be authentic, that's how authentic your kids can be. And two, actually, I just want to add, Ashley, the comment that you shared, something around trying to prevent your kids from experiencing these moments of lack of confidence. I actually don't think that that's a guarantee either. I think that what you've absorbed in your world, what you've learned or grown in, although you can be an amazing example and a story for them to see that, oh, this confidence thing, owning who you really are, doing the thing you really love. I see my mom really doing that, but also they're not guaranteed to avoid normal life growth challenges either. They might have a tool or even a bunch of tools in the toolbox that other kids don't have. And maybe they can avoid a midlife crisis faster than the rest of our culture when they realize that just because they got their high school diploma and they got their degree and the letters after their name and the, you know, two-car garage and a trip to Hawaii and then retiring at a golf club place. I don't know what we're retiring to, but I'm not going to be golfing. But anyway, whatever that life is that the culture says this is a successful life. A lot of people actually go to the 40, 50, 60 year age and say, is this what I was doing this all for? And I think we can help our young people actually curtail that you know, that entire journey, a cultural journey, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to still say, huh, should I be doing what I'm doing? Or what do other people think? Or I think they're still going to wonder those things.
Yeah, I think that's, a natural way of going through life. I think you're so right, Teresa. Like, that's just part of being human. And we don't live isolated or in our own bubble. We live in connection with other people. And because other people matter to us, then those, and I guess my thoughts are, yeah, like, I like how you use the word tool. So like, thinking that as they go through, and I kind of see it happening. I mean, so mine are 10 and 7. So we've still got a lot ahead of us. So there's gonna be lots of different stages and phases still. And I can kind of already see it where with my oldest, there's periods of time where those things seem to not necessarily matter more, but he's just paying attention more to other people, and other people's opinions seem to have a bigger impact and stuff. And then that seems to shift or something in a way, and seems to be less of a thing for a while, and then it comes back. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that, and I don't know, I hope I can explain this right. Like, my hope is that by them having more freedom and flexibility on how they choose to spend their days and what they choose to do, that confidence will come from that.
There is,
because
confidence.
I think back mm-hmm. to when, like, I was always told I had mm-hmm. I had some freedom and flexibility in my family. Like, I didn't have a very strict household. I still played that good girl role a lot, though. But in school, I was told what to do next. I wasn't growing my confidence by making my own choices there. Mm-hmm. So I another word for it too, but just to have that those experiences, I hope will help with their confidence. But I agree, like, and yeah, I want them to have those more difficult experiences or even negative experiences while they're young and while we're here, so that they know, yep, that happens. Yep, that feels awful. And yes, yeah, we got through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm noticing too with my kids as they're kind of getting into this young adult piece is that, yeah, there's still a lot of thinking and like, you know, is this the path I want? Is it not? Maybe I want part of this path, but I wasn't quite sure about this. But I do think there's a difference in that it's challenging to figure out what's the right fit for them, but mm-hmm. there's a layer that's not there, which is the same, there's not the same fear somehow of needing to stay on the path.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they have a wider range of what the possibilities are, and they're truer to themselves, I think.
So interesting, though. I'm still seeing, and I won't declare which child, but I'm actually seeing one of my kiddos kind of, you know, the way that she's framing things, she sees things, or the way she's framing things sounds very traditional. And it does actually really surprise me, because I'm like, we have been doing out of the box for so long, inconceivable. Or even when one of my kids said, I want to go to traditional high school, I was like, I don't do that. I am my homeschool advocate and I know better. You know, this is the mindset that I have. And oh, that discussion point is a tricky one in the homeschool community, because homeschool is the best thing. And actually, I think so. I do. And also, kids grow up and they want agency. And like my kiddo said to me, she said, yeah, but mom, I know you know that and you believe that, that this is the best thing, but I don't know it. And I was like, touche.
Yeah. That's so perfectly put. Isn't it? Yeah. That came up a little bit in our last, maybe in our conversation with Brittany, actually, that homeschooling is something that we choose as parents, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have these ideas, and this has been our experience, and this is the research we've done, but for them, it's just their life. It's not really an idea necessarily. So it would make sense that if they're hearing about other things, they might want to choose it or try it or. Yeah.
So later on, just like to fill in the end of that story, she actually gets into high school within a couple months, says, thank you so much for homeschooling me all the way through junior high, because I can see that would have been I won't use the word, but not good.
Yeah, right.
and then she also accelerated her efforts. Like in British Columbia, you have a 3-year program for high school. She did it in 2 years to get out. So there you go. Agency.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. She still found her own way to do it.
Yeah. My unschooled kiddo turned honor psychology program. She's the kid that didn't want to be traditional in the way she was approaching things. She just pushed back. She's the reason I went toward the unschool realm, and she's the one that's now doing honor psychology. So go figure.
No, that's, I had a very similar experience. The person that we homeschooled because of ended up wanting to go to school for the last couple of years. Yeah. So it's right. Self-directed is self-directed.
You can hold to the homeschool thing if you want to. Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, I obviously am a homeschool advocate, or I would not be hanging out in the home education realm as I am. And I am 100%. I still say me, homeschool mom, even though I'm not doing it anymore. I identify as a homeschool mom because I love it. It's amazing. And also still, who is the child in front of you? Let's talk about the real person in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like that resonates a lot with kind of what we've been talking about recently as well. I was thinking about moving on to the confidence part. Do either of you have anything else on authenticity, or are we good to...
I'll take your lead.
All right. So the confidence part, Teresa, I imagine is very interesting. This is probably a big piece of conversation for you with people. And I just said, when I was writing my notes, I said, like many people, I think I've been challenged by the worry that I'll do things, quote, wrong, unquote. And so at times it stopped me from doing anything at all, right? It's the classic paralysis, like I might not succeed, so I won't do anything at all. This has gotten much easier for me the more deeply I've gone into deschooling and embracing mistakes rather than fearing them. Rather than fearing them has become something I've gotten closer to. I think there's also the comparison game that someone might be better qualified, more skilled. And so again, that's something I work with, shifting those thoughts of inferiority. And then I talked a little bit about putting my writing online and beginning the podcast, as I mentioned at the beginning. But I do think that the idea around comparing yourself to other people is one that I think it's a common thing. I mean, I know there's this term imposter syndrome, right? Imposter syndrome. And I have that. It's you know, I'm 49 and I have been working in the field of social work doing, consulting and facilitating with families for a really long time. And sometimes I forget how old I am and how long I've been doing it, because things will come up and I'll think, well, I don't know why are they so keen on asking me to do that? I think about it and I'm like, well, no, they're keen because this went really well when we worked together last time or that. But it's amazing to me. Maybe it's the human condition. I don't know. But I do still have moments where I think, why are they contacting me again about consulting with this family? And, and part of it's just realizing my age at times too. Like I have been doing this a long time, but sometimes I can still feel like a little kid, you know? And
can I ask you a question that you, when was the first time that you experienced something like that? Was that just because you began working in social work, or have you had that experience before?
I've had it both with paid work and I've had it with homeschooling as well. And I think it's that feeling of, coming into social services kind of in my early to mid 20s. And also I became a mom in my early to mid 20s and I always felt a little bit young. So like, I remember going to homeschool groups and seeing these older kids who now I realize were 9 or 10, right? They seemed so far beyond where we were. And there was a little bit of that sense of like, I'm here, but I don't really know what I'm doing yet. And I'm kind of listening and I'm observing. And so I would say it's probably early adulthood. I'm sure there's some stuff in childhood I could go back and think of, but those are the two things that come up for me. And I think it's because those are two roles that are, they're adult roles, right?
I've got a role for you that you didn't bring up right now, but I've got an idea around unpacking that. If you delivered a baby in the hospital and if you home birth, this is going to be a tricky one. Did you happen to deliver any baby in the hospital?
So I had all home births except for my first one.
Okay, well, let's take the first one then.
And I was a doula for 10 years, Teresa.
Really? Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So I did postpartum nursing. I was pediatric, postpartum, labor and delivery, all that before I had my babies. And I worked on the unit that I delivered or that I helped other moms. And I remember pre-parenting that I had these cards that I would save. I still have them because I think this is hilarious. I would write things that I was told. These are the things that you're supposed to do to help moms know what to do when they bring their child home. And one of them was not co-sleeping, which to me is hilarious now because I wanted to sleep. So I co-slept. But anyways, I would tell people how to parent their children before I parented them. Now, on the flip side, so before they left the hospital, and I'm sure this is still the case, we'd have to check the harness on the baby carriers and whether they were safe to leave. But I remember being with my husband on the unit that I worked and spoke to all these moms about what they should do before they leave and how they'll deal with their first number of months. I remember picking my baby up and walking out of the hospital, locking her in ever so carefully into the car to drive in our Ford Taurus, 5 minutes to the apartment that we lived, just like 5 minute drive. And I remember thinking in my head, did they just let me go home with a baby? Like, is this for real? This is not real. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't feel like a mother, except that they were like, this is your baby. You can go be a mom now. I did not feel like a mom, but I was a mom. And as I continue to do it, I feel like a mom. I don't feel like a mom of a retired person because I'm not. And I don't have a clue what that will look like if I make it that long. But I do know that I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah, this midlife age is interesting, isn't it? Because there's still so much to learn, and yet you really do have enough life now that you can look back and yeah. Like Ashley, I know you're a little bit younger, but not so much so that you probably can't relate to that.
No, she relates because she's a mom, right, Ashley?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And I'm thinking back to when I was I guess like university age and in my 20s, I've been thinking about this more and more recently. And I've talked about it with other people around my age and they're like, yeah, same. In my 20s, I had a lot of confidence. I had a lot of like, bring it on. Like I can do this. I definitely had moments of like, you know, feeling really nervous before doing things and stuff as well, but yeah. I just went and I still did it. Yeah. And I still feel that when I'm around that age group, there's just this confidence that I'm like, I remember feeling that way. I don't know if it's partly like, yeah, becoming a parent, you just feel more vulnerable, or, you know, I've been out of like the professional paid workforce for a while now too. And just in my home more and with my family more, and I don't have someone watching me. So the idea of going out and someone watching me or, yeah, I guess it's like that gaze, right? It's like, oh, I haven't had that for a while. Like I really am more sensitive to it, I guess. But I think about how like doing the podcast or doing Clubhouse or even posting on Instagram where I don't feel overly confident doing any of it. But the purpose I think is different. Like I'm coming at those things because it's my interest. I gain so much from these conversations. Like I walk away, like it's twofold. Like I want to share because I know someone out there will relate, because that's how I entered the homeschool community, by listening to others. So I know that not everyone will agree with me. Everyone you know, people do things differently and that's all okay. But my purpose is to come and share. So if someone else hears it and they go, oh, okay, that's how I feel too. But also because having these conversations, it's like my interest, it fills me up. It gives me joy. Like it's my me time. It's almost, it's like a form of self-care, I guess. So it's almost like, and then the more I do it, the confidence builds.
Yeah. Exactly. That's actually my point, is that the more you do the mom thing, you're like, no, I'm the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I wonder, and I'm just musing here, but I wonder if when we're younger, we tend to be more confident. I wasn't, I'll say that I wasn't, but there's reasons for that. But I think possibly when I'm watching my kids, part of the reason might be because there's a very idealistic approach to life, that things are black and white, right and wrong. You're going to go, you know, like the whole world or life is ahead of you. Nothing is too big or bad. It's all solvable. And then actually fast forward a couple decades, you realize actually there's a heck of a lot of gray, and there's a lot of stuff that can happen unexpected, you know, all sorts of things that sometimes dissuade us from this idea, like we have life in our hands and we can figure it all out by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was in my 20s, if someone had asked me my opinion on something, and I don't think anyone would have described me as a strongly opinionated person, but I probably would have just shared my thoughts. And I think that's not necessarily good or bad, but I would have been comfortable and confident enough to do that. Whereas now I often think if someone asks me something, I'm just like, I don't even know anymore. I'm not sure. Ask someone else. I don't know. Which is so funny because I thought it would go the other way with more life experience. And I mean, it's just sometimes, but more often than I would have expected.
I love that. That's actually why when I do Q&As in my Facebook group, or when people ask me things directly, I don't like giving advice, which it sounds weird because online it looks like that. I'm totally cool with that. And actually, I love the coaching element because my goal is to ask you or invite you to feel comfortable having conversation with me so you can share the things that are genuine, the things that really matter, and then you can get clear on what your next step is. So I don't actually think that I've got stuff figured. In fact, I know I don't. And I also know that I'm able to sit with people and reflect back what they are genuinely feeling. And so, yeah, I'm with you. It feels like life gets grayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you get older.
Yeah. This is good. A couple things have popped up for me. And I think, actually, maybe it's a little bit of weaving together of the authenticity piece and the confidence piece. So in my work, I am talking a lot, but I'm also listening a lot, and we're putting plans together and we're doing a lot of vision planning and a lot of practical pieces. But my job, like kind of like you're saying, Teresa, is not to come in with my opinion. People will ask it, you know, and that's okay. But various families are very, very different from one another. So kind of back to that chameleon piece, it's a growing edge for me to come in authentically, but also if I've talked to three different people in a row, they may have very like almost opposite ways of doing things.
Yeah.
So you're really, it's an interesting place to be because you are reflecting back and you're respecting and you're validating. But you've just validated something quite different maybe 2 hours previously. So it's just that interesting space to kind of really be clear where your own self is, right? And that you're just really there reflecting and supporting and being in the presence of another person. So that kind of came up for me, Teresa, when you were talking about your role. There was another piece to this. It's around, you know, I think some of the language that I find helpful as well when I'm kind of trying to think things through, because I think I used to panic a little bit more if I couldn't make a decision. It was sort of like, well, because it was this idea that there was a right decision and it was like, oh, I'm so confused. And I, you know, I don't know what to do about this with this child or this path I might want to take or whatever. And I'm finding now I try to change my language a little bit. So before I might've said, like I'm really grappling with this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes that's the word that fits. I don't think we need to be like toxically positive all the time. Sometimes we are grappling with something. But if I can, and if it fits, I will talk more about, you know, I'm sort of sifting through some ideas right now, or I'm curious about a couple of different paths. And I find that that helps. It just helps take away the dun, dun, dun. If I, you know, if I make the wrong decision, it's like, okay, you know, there's some pros and cons to each of these. And I think I've gotten a little bit better at sitting with that tension without it becoming absolute paralysis, if that makes sense.
Right. Because why do you have to know? Sometimes you do, but any chance have you explored Enneagram? Anybody that knows me knows I go there.
Yeah, I've done a lot more with Myers-Briggs. I'm an INFP, but I am an Enneagram 9. So I do know that.
I wanted to say it beforehand. I'm like, you're a 9, right?
Absolutely, right? So those are such interesting tools too, because I feel like they can help you. You're not pathologizing some of the pieces. This is so cool. This is an interesting piece of like who I am or, and Teresa, I was just interested from your perspective, something that came up a little bit on our last episode was, and I suspect it might be something you talk to people about, is the idea of people being primarily homeschool moms and maybe they want to dip their toe into paid work, or maybe they don't, but they feel like they should. Or, you know, Ashley, you just alluded a little bit to that kind of being out of what would be like the paid workforce for a period of time. And I just thought that might be something that would be kind of useful to people, because I do think that that's something that comes up for a lot of people. Is that
what would you say your question is in that, or your statement?
Well, maybe it's a little bit back to the idea. It could be a couple questions. It could be people finding the confidence to move into the paid workforce, either if they're finished homeschooling or if they want to add that in and they've been out for a little while. I guess that could be a piece of it, right? Or it could be feeling okay with the fact that they're not in the paid workforce. And that's often really devalued, right? Our society can devalue that.
I mean, there's so many discussion points there. What I don't share is, I don't share this often anyways, is that I'm business coaching homeschool moms that actually want to get a business off the ground. And primarily I'm working with people that want to do the coaching element. I love it because I feel like my Enneagram 2 motherish side is able to nurture people into becoming more them, because that's, I think, the key is if they want to do the thing, whatever the creativity is that they want to monetize or whatever work they want to get back to or whatever it is, I would always direct them to, who are you really? What are your core, I can think of the word in my husband's professional world, but the core competencies or the, you know, your aptitudes, the things that we're watching our kids, you know, their natural giftings and their interests, and actually follow that more. Because, I mean, obviously I'm going to say that, I suppose, but I really do think that we should be de-schooling our life, not just our kids' lives. And we really should be saying, why am I here on the planet? What really is driving me? And I've had conversations with moms that are like, I'm just really tired of homeschooling. And then sometimes when I ask the question, so baby stop, like just maybe you should stop. And I'm not actually joking. And I'm not just trying to be oppositional. I think sometimes there's a place for it where even though you can see the benefit for your child, if you are deeply resenting what you're doing, or you're completely exhausted, or so many possibilities, this is not serving them anyways. And it isn't the better choice by forcing yourself through something. Sometimes you do need to stop. Sometimes you have ways of incorporating time, hours, or creating your own business inside your work world. But I think the key would be to say, who are you really? And I don't know that we ever actually truly can answer that question in our lifetime. And we're being called at different points of our life to grow into something else anyway. So it's not like we've arrived, but we do want to lean into something that feels reflective of who we really are. that authentic angle again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I guess it came up, Ashley, we were talking about conversation points when people ask, what do you do? Or people ask people what they do. And I think that's another piece probably is that sometimes it's not necessarily that we're not feeling confident with our role, but we don't have a quick answer. And so I do think from a confidence perspective, that happens sometimes when you're not expecting a question, you can almost come across as sounding a little bit less confident than you actually are. And I think that's sometimes because we are sometimes conditioned it's you almost don't want to seem too confident or it can feel like you are, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, I've heard this conversation in homeschool before. It can be hard to have a conversation because by being confident about what you're doing, it almost looks as though you're suggesting the other person is wrong or whatever.
Well, I actually think it's only the case if those people see the world through that lens, because yeah. I'm actually okay with people not seeing things the same way or speaking things differently and me going, oh yeah, maybe that's a good thought there. And I don't take it as I've done wrong or I'm not thinking right.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be an opportunity to reflect, right? It can be.
I think examining why it is that we're feeling what we're feeling when they're saying something. In my, I have a paid support group, and in an audio podcast for that group, I shared a story when I was younger about being in a lawyer's office. And I think we were signing wills, and the lawyer had asked me what my role was. And I said, I homeschool my kids. I'm a home educator. And he said, so a housewife. And I'm like, no. I am a home educator. And I perseverated, and he eventually wrote down housewife. And that happened in a bank around the same time too. They don't even know what that means. Home educator, what are you talking about? Are you like a certified teacher that also happens to be at home with your kids? Or I don't know what they're thinking. It's probably different now in the last few years because so many people are homeschooling now. But taking on our role and determining our role, I mean, that's just one more step of really owning who we are. And I think de-schooling again, you know, just de-institutionalizing ourselves from the way the entire culture thinks.
I'm just thinking about, so we're in our fourth year of home education, and I'm trying to think back. I guess what I can say is that I think it'd be fair to say the majority of the past 4 years, it's kind of always on the back of my mind, what else could I be doing for paid work while I'm a full-time home educating parent? Mm-hmm. And it kind of comes in and comes out. And I don't know, I mean, there'd be different reasons for that, but it doesn't seem to be uncommon in the homeschool world where you see often the homeschool mom, trying to figure out how to, run a business on the side, or how to maybe bring some income into the home, or how to, maybe have a side business so that they have something that's, just to spend time doing something other than home educating, even if it's a home educator related business. There's value in all of that. And for the past while now, like I'd say 6 months or so, I've kind of had this thought of recognizing first that kind of creeps in. That's always in the back of my mind. Like, oh, is there an opportunity here? Or, oh, maybe I could do that. Or maybe that's what that's the path I'll take eventually. And then it kind of goes away because I'm so busy as a home educating parent that I don't have that time. But yeah, for the past 6 months or so, I've had this other thought of, how do I put this? It's always just in my head, but I kind of just say to myself, like, no, this is enough. Like, what am I thinking, taking on something else? And there's lots of people do, and I'm not saying it's impossible or at all that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. But right now for myself, I'm kind of like, where's this almost, because sometimes it can feel like pressure.
Yeah.
And maybe it is from being asked by those people, like, oh, are you going to go back to teaching? Or are you going to go back? Are you going to, what else are you going to do now that your kids are 10 and 7? You must have so much more time on your hands. And I'm just one, like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But I think sometimes it is a bit of pressure. And I've just, yeah, for the past little while, kind of thought, like, just telling myself, like, it's okay. Like, there doesn't have to be something else on top of this right now. This is enough. I don't know. It's always just been in my head. So
it didn't even dawn on me to create my own business, or even the way that I slid into life coaching. You know, I was always writing. So then I wrote a book, and then it published April 2020. But then I started a podcast in February so I could meet Julie Bogart. And then I should stop sharing that story. She'll think I'm a stalker, but I'm not. But anyways, then I started the podcast, and then, you know, what we were all doing in March 2020, I was in my closet, not just my home, interviewing people and having conversations. And then it just naturally moved into coaching. And then I took a life coaching program. But when I was back where you are right now, I actually do think that I moralized the idea of, as a mother, you need to be at home with your kids. And homeschooling was just like the piece de resistance, and now I have arrived at my mother role. And honestly, it's an amazing experience, but I don't think there's one right way to do any of it. And the culture generally is trying to persuade us to move into a role outside of motherhood. And if we don't want to, then don't. But if you want to, then do. Yeah, it's tricky. There's a lot of dynamics.
Absolutely. I'm going to add to that quickly. And then I just want to move on to one more thing, because I'm aware of your time, Teresa. Yes. So I think you just said, Teresa, something to the effect of, and if I've misquoted you, let me know, but like society is kind of trying to move you out of that.
Yeah.
Being a mother only, right? This idea of only, you know, is such a full role. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying only, I'm saying, and yeah. Then to your point about kind of, so then I think when we feel society is pushing us in a certain direction and we're choosing not to do that. So if you're choosing to be fully at home with your children, and then you probably create a little bit, many people, I think, of a defense mechanism around that, right? You have people making comments like that person at the bank or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then, yeah. So then I have shared before a little bit too, that when I was doing some work, well, I pretty much always have done some work outside of the home as well. I would then feel, I didn't feel genuinely inadequate. I was aware that there was sort of that vibe sometimes in the homeschool world that you needed to be fully with your kids. And so then I would feel less than in another way, because I would think, I'm not able to do as much cooking or as much whatever, because something has to, you know, this myth of having it all is just, it's a myth.
Yeah. I just so feel like America Ferraro's, her speech from the Barbie movie really fits here. It doesn't matter what you do, you'll always be wrong. So just do you.
Exactly. But I just wanted to say that, it's kind of I guess we really do come back again to the authenticity and the confidence, and just really kind of keeping anchored in those. The third piece was around intention. And, you know, we've talked in various ways about intention, I think, on different episodes, whether it was lists, you know, whether, you know, different things like that. And so kind of practical ideas. And I feel like there are, you know, Teresa, you probably have some practical things that you share. And I think also there has to be some degree of readiness to put yourself into intentionally making changes or putting your foot out. But I'm interested in what your thoughts are.
This is like a series of episodes right here. I'm just thinking I could go and go and go in different directions. Yeah. When it comes to intention, I think you have to get clear on what you want and, you know, what matters, what really matters. And then I say, take a Trello board, go to Trello or Asana or some sort of online board where you can put the activities that you're actually doing in your real life and the ones that you want to be doing, and actually create little labels, or I forget what they call them on there, but list pieces on the board. Or you could do this on a written day timer where they have, you know, hours in the day, and then use a colored marker and just shade off. This is the hour that I'm going to do such and such. When you do that, and then you decide these are the things that are important to me in my life, then you can live the more intentional life. It'll get clarified too, because you'll realize, wait, I'm spending too much time sleeping, said nobody. But you know, in the pregnancy years, postpartum years, you're not sleeping. You have about 10 years until you get perimenopausal, and then you're not sleeping again. But anyways, you decide what you want to put in your life, and then decide how much time you actually have in the day. I think that would be a simple practical tip, but I actually in coaching wouldn't approach it like that. I would actually go to the, tell me why it's not intentional. Tell me what would make it feel intentional. Discussion points where I'm going to help you get clear on why something isn't as you would like it to be. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I think that we can ever come to the sweet spot where it's always going to be perfect or purposeful. I don't think that's a thing. I think sometimes life, God, whoever, whatever, is inviting us into more growth all the time. There will always be growth. And some of that growth will feel like it's a flourishing garden, you know, mid-July garden, mid-June garden. And then sometimes it feels fallow, and sometimes it's like full winter like it is today for me. I mean, purpose is, that's a big discussion point.
Yeah. That's a huge one. Just a fun, quick little antidote is that something that I found really helpful, two of my kids in particular, my oldest and my youngest, are really good when asked at kind of being little accountability. Well, they're not little, they're taller than me, but being accountability, you know, accountability, I don't know if I'd say partners, but kind of a gauge for me around stuff. So, and they're not pushy. And they actually give me a ton of grace, but there's a couple different things that I know I want to do things, but I can get off track really easily, and I can say yes to way too many people, and then I don't get to what I want to do. That's the big piece for me, is I get pulled into requests, and I think they're small requests and they become big requests, and then I'm not, doing the pieces, right, that I really value and that have been kind of my intention. And so it's been kind of fun to have these, and they have like almost opposite personalities. So it's really kind of funny. They each have their own way about it. So yeah, my youngest is very like, she's a list maker. She is specific. She's concrete. And my oldest is like a big picture thinker. So depending on what it is that I want a bit of help being intentional with.
Yeah.
Like my oldest really helps me get out of my own way. And he was really instrumental really in even the confidence to think about the podcast and stuff like that. Like he's just like, well, Mom, just do it. Like, yeah. So it's just, whereas my youngest kind of helps keep me on track with some timing stuff. So just maybe finding those people in your life too, that have different personality characteristics that can help.
Yeah. So I would be delighted to walk alongside whoever wants to unpack this kind of stuff in real time. And actually, you said you're a 9, so you probably have these big swaths of time where you need downtime as well.
Yes. Yeah, and I didn't realize it till the pandemic.
Oh, well, did you get lots of downtime? I really needed
more time than I thought.
As a social worker, did you have more time or less time? Hard to say.
Homeschooling, working, and then homeschooling. So then when the pandemic hit and there was just less travel time, less.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember when I was a kid, I needed so much time. And it's like I'd forgotten, right?
Yeah, so, you need that. You do need that. Well, I encourage you to like, I don't know, get your Trello board or whatever and say, you know what? I'm going to do this thing, even if someone asks me to do ... no matter how important it is. Unless it requires rescuing someone from a life-threatening scenario, it's just like, nope, you're going to be okay. You're taller than me. That's all I need to know.
Exactly. Oh, I love that, Teresa. Thank you. Ashley, do you have anything comes to mind before we sign off?
No, I'm good. I love what you said there, Erin, about finding people who can support you in the ways that you need. Mm-hmm. That was kind of where my brain was at. So I'm good. This has been great. Okay.
Yeah, it was so delightful. I knew it would be.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Teresa. And we'll find out what links would be most helpful for people. And we'll get those in there. And it was just really nice to talk to you both today.
Ditto. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and maybe helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Haley can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. I, Erin, can be found at Everlearning, and Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves. We'd be very grateful if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might appreciate it. Thank you for your time today.